keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again, move little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you, I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Anti-Media Radio. Once again with your host Nick Burnaby here on UCY.TV. Super happy to be back, glad to be alive in these crazy times. God, look, all this shit going on. Really feels like we're at a turning point, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like so many things are colliding at once, and we're really in a place, we're at a crossroads where we're either going to go a really bad route, or we're going to unite and work together and go a really good route. I mean, I think the odds are against us in many ways. In other ways, the odds are forever in our favor, to quote that one movie that everyone loves, even though people don't like acting like that in real life. Anyway, we got a great show in store for you tonight, especially with this crazy stuff going on over at, you know, North Dakota, and man, such a crazy, crazy time to be alive, right? It's just ridiculous because it's with the power of social media and internet and all this stuff, even though, you know, we talked about this last show, they're trying to crack down on quote-unquote fake news, but we can really see what the hell is going on, because last night when everything was unfolding up in North Dakota at Standing Rock, I mean, there was literally millions of people watching live streams through Facebook and seeing what was happening. And, you know, we're going to talk about this because an event this large hasn't happened in a really long time. And I've got all the latest details ready to go. First, let me introduce our awesome panel tonight. I've got my longtime co-host, DB Schwartz. What's up, man?
Hey, just, you know, what happened last night at Standing Rock and what we saw with drone footage and everything, it's total contradiction to what the Sheriff's Department, Morton County, is putting out, and then what the MSM is parroting. So I don't know what it's going to take at this point to get them to stop. I mean, I've heard there's lawyers embedded that are just basically getting proof for a massive lawsuit. But I mean, this lady last night lost her arm, and I'm sure that the elder's probably not out of the woods yet as far as the cardiac arrest. And there's a lot of people that suffered hypothermia. Some people are going to lose some toes and fingers, and it's not okay, man. It's a peaceful protest. You can use other things, but there's a time when the lethality because of the low temperatures just makes it, at that point, assault.
Horrible what went down over there. Horrible. 300 people were injured, according to a statement from the Standing Rock medics. 300 people injured. Of course, not all of them were, you know, severely injured, but you know, most of these guys were being treated for hypothermia, which is really awful. I mean, just imagine freezing, like colder than you've probably ever been unless you've had hypothermia before. I mean, they were spraying water on people while it was below freezing. So, you know, the water lands on you and then your clothes start to freeze up on you, you know. So really, really awful what was going on. And DB, you're talking about the drone footage. I saw that they tried to shoot one of the drones out of the air with the water cannon. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, they came pretty close, too. So at this point, they're going to start probably using some jamming stuff to see if they can cut the signal. But, yeah, I don't know, man. If we allow this kind of stuff to happen for this, I mean, eminent domain is going to become a tool they continue to use. Right now, they're picking on who they think can't fight back because Bismarck was able to fight back. They mounted a legal effort. They feel like these tribes aren't going to be able to pull that together. But, you know, it's up to us to have their back because they've suffered enough.
Yeah, you know, and it's just awfully ironic in a very ugly way that this is going on. You know, some people say this is Native American Appreciation Month or whatever, Celebration Month. But, you know, it's Thanksgiving week and stuff. And to be treating people like this on Thanksgiving week, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. The other cruelly ironic thing is that, you know, these protesters call themselves water protectors, and they were spraying them with water, you know, with these water cannons. And the sheriff's department said that they were just trying to put out fires. That's bullshit. That's a lie. They were spraying people. In fact, 300 people were treated for injuries, most of which were hypothermia, that were hit with this water cannon. So, really awful what they're doing, and they're trying to lie to everybody. But everybody saw what was going on. There's a bunch of pictures. There's a bunch of live video. There was drone footage. We all know the truth. You know, the only people that are gonna not know are maybe the older folks that are watching CNN. Like, oh my God, those damn rioters! They deserve what they got. Everybody else that is like getting information from the internet is like, okay, yeah, that was horrible. That was way over the top. And I think there's going to be some ramifications. I'm going to talk about that. But first, let me introduce our other panelists, the awesome journalist Jake Anderson. What's up, Jake?
Hey, I'm just so disgusted by what's going on up there. And, you know, this is just further proof of this is a ceremony for the state. This is a ritual being performed by the corporate state to show that they have impunity to do whatever they want. And the irony of it happening over Thanksgiving weekend, when this is already a week that is drenched in bloody irony, given that we took this land, we established the initial eminent domain by stealing the land, and then to now do a ritualistic ceremony on top of that, juxtaposing it by as DB said, this is straight assault, and it's a corporate state ritual of killing and assaulting with impunity. Those temperatures, that's like being in that's like the people that went down with the Titanic. That's the temperature you're talking about. When you're in the when the temperature is in the 20s and you're getting water on you, that's basically the equivalent of falling off the Titanic into the water. And to echo what you were mentioning before about how we're at a crossroads, I would argue that we are approaching a cultural singularity where it's not at the tech side of it yet, but culturally we're at a point at which that there is no more rationality left for people to cling to. I had a friend today post, actually, I barely even know the guy. I grew up with, he was in a similar circle of me, of mine, growing up in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he posted, he's a pretty naive guy, you know, he was like, got to vote for Clinton to keep Trump out. And he was saying, you know, well, we can't trust CNN, we can't NBC, but who are we supposed to trust then? A lot of the people that are counter-establishment, you can't trust them either. There is just this zeitgeist of confusion right now, and I would argue that we're approaching a cultural singularity, and I think something is going to happen soon that just takes everyone out of their comfort zone. And until we get to that point, We're all just a bunch of disgusting hypocrites to sit here and tolerate and accept this kind of bullshit. It makes I couldn't even go on Facebook today. I was so revolted by people in their petty concerns while something of this magnitude is going on.
Oh man, great points. First of all, I just want to thank everybody listening tonight for, you know, tuning into this show on a regular basis. If this is your first time, you can check out our previous shows. You know, we've been talking about what's going on in Standing Rock before basically anybody knew what was going on in Standing Rock, because it was not a national news story for a really long time. Because, you know, the story kind of was buried purposely by the media. In fact, it wasn't until like a month ago that ABC finally aired something on it. ABC and NBC had a total media blackout on what's going on, you know, with this pipeline. A lot of the reason why is, you know, these oil dealings have a lot of deep connections, and in corporate America, you know, different people can own different corporations, and the same groups can own stakes in a bunch of different corporations. And you know, it's no secret that the big media conglomerates and the oil industry have kind of incestuous ties. They have similar ownership and people that own shares in both industries. And you know, there's a bunch of different reasons, including advertisement revenue, for a lot of these media companies, so that, you know, if they were to cover this stuff fairly, then they would maybe lose some of their advertising revenue, because you can't cover police brutality going on as they, you know, brutalize Native American people trying to stop the pipeline, and then 20 seconds later have an advertisement for Exxon or for some oil company, Shell or, you know, BP or whatever. You know, and so there's a bunch of like conflicting interests there. And that's kind of the big problem with corporate media, is that there's a conflict of interest in basically everything they do. And they're sitting here now, and like you mentioned, Jake, your friend doesn't know who to trust, because now there's been just this confusion sown, because after the election, nobody wants to blame Hillary Clinton for Hillary Clinton losing, which, you know, in any other situation, it's like, yeah, when somebody loses something, you blame that person because they messed up. In the case of Hillary Clinton, it's like, okay, well, we got to blame this person. I've seen people blame Bernie Sanders. They blame third parties. They blame this, that, and the other. The media conglomerates, which all basically all the ones that lined up behind Hillary Clinton, I mean, the Daily Beast, the New York Times, you know, the Washington Post, all these huge media conglomerates are now trying to sow the seeds of distrust within independent media, saying, well, the biggest threat to our democracy right now is fake news stories that come from who knows what website. You know, we can't trust any of them.
The biggest threat to our democracy right now is Comet Pizza. I'm not even kidding you. Imagine that these fools nearly got World War III started simply because they could be blackmailed for being sick fucks.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later, but you know, this stuff is just, it's, you know, they're trying to confuse everybody, and it's already working. And, you know, I was reading some articles online today, and I've seen banner ads from the New York Times already capitalizing on this stuff. They're like, well, big stories deserve honest journalism and blah, 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 blah. That's what their new advertisements are saying. So they're already like, they sown the seeds of, you know, you can't trust independent media. And now they're trying to capitalize on it and saying, look, you can trust us. We're not biased. We're not this. We're not. Dude, they endorsed Hillary Clinton for presidency. How can you not be biased when you're endorsing a candidate for president? How can you criticize a candidate? How can the New York Times, after endorsing Hillary Clinton, turn around and write a news story that exposed, you know, something that came out of, what, let's say, the Podesta emails or WikiLeaks, and say, oh, yeah, Hillary Clinton did that, did this and that, but we endorsed her, so, you know, it makes us look bad, too. So obviously they're not going to do it, right? Oh man, Jake, go ahead.
They'd rather the entire republic collapse than give up, than the establishment would, than to see a real change to the paradigm that's going on right now. It's the same with the DNC. They did in fact throw the election and lose to and let Donald Trump take over the presidency instead of letting a real voice for the people. Whatever your opinions on Bernie Sanders are, he was a populist voice for a large chunk of people, as opposed to Hillary Clinton, who most certainly was not. The establishment, and the same with the news media, they would rather sow that more division within us and plant this ridiculous narrative of the internet alternative media lying, when clearly it's the opposite. They'd rather do that than change their tune and actually, do real reporting. They want honest reporting. Is that really your is that your slogan now? Honest reporting. Then why don't you get your asses out there to a Standing Rock and do an honest report on how the corporate state is literally just killing people right in front of us on Thanksgiving week. How about that for some honest journalism? That'd be great.
Speaking of that, Jake, we might have had our first DAPL casualty because there's a guy named Casey Layden who hasn't been heard from his family, and I guess he had asthma. So you can imagine if he got stuck on that bridge and kept inhaling tear gas, it's possible, So if these things start coming up where people are dying as a result of what the cops were doing, which if you watch the videos, they said they were just literally shooting tear gas at him just to torture him because, like, they couldn't go back or forth without trampling each other, and so they didn't. So they just had to keep inhaling tear gas.
Literally chemical warfare. They're literally dosing these people with chemical weapons. And then the same news outlets are reporting on what's going on in Syria, and it's like, oh, the whoever we're not with, so, you know, the Assad government and, you know, the Russian-backed, you know, Assad government is using chemical weapons on the people in Aleppo, and, like, that's a bigger news story than our own government using chemical weapons on our own people. It's like, that's not news. It's really not news. Now joining us, we've got the amazing journalist Claire Bernish. I want to talk to you about a few things. First off, we're going to get back into Standing Rock, but first I want to continue on this, in this vein of this, fake news, bullshit propaganda that's going on right now. Claire, I know you've written about this extensively. First of all, I wanted to bring up something that is really concerning because, you know, the government, I guess, maybe wouldn't be able to get away with doing this stuff on their own as far as, okay, we're going to censor certain types of news. We're going to ban certain types of news. You know, everyone would agree that that infringes on free speech and it infringes on the on freedom of the press. So instead, what they're doing, they're saying, okay, well, corporations have rights to censor certain things. And since everybody consents to being on a corporate, social media outlet, for instance, let's say Facebook, everyone consents to be on there, the entire country, a third, I think, of the world, a quarter of the world or something like that, some ridiculous number of people are on Facebook. And so instead of saying, okay, we're going to go through the government and say we're going to censor this news, this type of content, instead they're like, okay, we don't have to infringe on quote unquote free speech by having these corporate social media or tech conglomerates censor it for us, like Google and Facebook. Now, looking back at some of the WikiLeaks stuff, and this is where it starts to get real interesting and more concerning than anything. What's her name? Sheryl Sandberg, I think her name is. She's like one of the top people at Facebook. She's been there from the beginning. She was caught up in WikiLeaks talking about how she wanted to help Hillary Clinton win and this, that, and the other thing. And now we get news that Facebook is going to start. They released a, 7-point plan on how they're going to filter out supposed fake news. Claire, tell us a little bit about this because, I mean, to me it's very concerning. I mean, we've already seen our traffic get hit by this because they've deemed us some type of fake news, even though every single thing we post is factual. And if it's not, then we post a retraction and, everybody gets it wrong once in a while. But overwhelming majority of everything we post is factual. Maybe there's some opinion in it, but it's not fake news at all. But we're already seeing a decrease in traffic from Facebook, and it's really, really concerning. Claire, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is an all-out assault, actually. It's kind of a joint assault on both alternative media and dissenting opinion. The reason I say that is not only is this very curious curiously timed at the end of, you know, the total failure of the Clinton campaign, all by their own doing. But it's aimed at alternative media because alternative media did such a phenomenal job covering the corruption that was exposed in the Clinton camp by WikiLeaks. It's arguable that alternative media actually helped persuade people not to vote for Hillary. I'm not saying that they were, like, alternative media was definitely not pro-Trump either. For the most part, it was fairly balanced reporting in terms of covering whatever corruption came up. It just so happened that WikiLeaks received big leaks about the Clinton camp instead of about the Trump camp. But I can guarantee you that if we had all received information about, you know, corruption behind Trump's campaign, we would have covered it the same way.
Claire, by WikiLeaks' own Twitter description, they open governments. Hillary Clinton represents the government, the state. That's why they went after Hillary Clinton. Once Trump is the state, they will go after him as well. I keep having to explain to people. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make
Yeah, I agree. It's just that also, I mean, like, WikiLeaks has made a point of the fact that they will leak whatever it is that they are given. And they have not been given anything on Trump. Like, they've leaked bad things about Russia, for instance. And even though, you know, the Clinton campaign was saying, like, WikiLeaks is in bed with Russia or whatever, WikiLeaks has a history of exposing really bad corruption in the Russian government. So it's not as if they're biased. They're literally a transparency publishing organization. I think people get that very wrong, and that's detrimental. And that has been kind of the fueling factor for this war on quote-unquote fake news that isn't a war on fake news at all. Even Zuckerberg said right after the campaign, when the establishment neoliberal Democrats were saying that, you know, fake news swayed the campaign, even Zuckerberg said, no, that's just not true at all. He said that it was such a small percentage and it was bipartisan that was actually false news or misleading news that there's no way that it possibly could have influenced the campaign.
And then they turned his knobs and now he's done a complete U-turn. And now he's like, yeah, fake news is really concerning to us, and here's our process that we're going to do to get rid of it.
Right.
But who's going to tell us what's fake and what's not? Snopes? That's who they're working with. I mean, that to me itself is ridiculous. Snopes has been snoped. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just – it's a way for them to get any unpopular or hard-to-find or highly valuable information and deem it not real. And
done it by using this professor's list, this like hack professor who had only been on the job for like 18 months. An assistant professor. At a college that was ranked 57th in the region where it's located.
Where were the citation? Where was the proof? I mean, here's a list of bullshit news. Where's the proof?
Good point. Where are your sources? Jesus.
She didn't give any explanation whatsoever for why things landed there, and she actually turned to her Facebook friends to get sources to put on the list. I mean, it's so absurd. It's not even you can't make this up.
What did Snopes say about her?
Here's the thing. It's alternative media who is generally neutral. It's also right-leaning, somewhat non-mainstream, but sort of mainstream media outlets. And it's also mainstream outlets that came out in favor of Bernie Sanders. And these are what were targeted on that list. If you can't make it clearer what the actual objective here is.
So one thing I wanted to note is that article that we aggregated today on the anti-media, you can go read it. It's called Ron Paul Reveals, quote, the real fake media news list. And it's a list of all the people that got caught colluding with the Hillary Clinton campaign. So, you know, these are people that we found out thanks to WikiLeaks and the Podesta emails and all that stuff. But let me just go through in alphabetical order and list the news organizations, because there's too many like individual journalists that are shit, that are colluding with government officials, that are colluding with the Hillary Clinton, you know, neoliberal establishment. So I'm just going to list the news outlets that basically these people collude with the government, therefore you cannot trust what they say, and basically they're fake news. ABC, Bloomberg, CBS, CNBC, CNN, The Daily Beast, Huffington Post, More, whatever that is, never heard of it. MSNBC, NBC, New Republic, The New York Times, New Yorker, People, Politico, The Guardian, The Hill, Vice, Vox, and The Washington Post. The two that I really want to note there, because I know a lot of young people actually read this crap and believe in it and think that it's decent media, is Vice and Vox. First of all, Vox is it's founded by like a guy that used to be a Democratic, you know, something. I forget his name, but he used to either work for Obama or he worked for Clinton, one of the two.
Let me look up Snopes. I'll find it.
Yeah. And then Vice sold out to the highest bidder. I think it's owned like 5% or more by Fox News. And it's owned by, you know, a bunch of venture capitalists that, you know, obviously trend establishment. Vice is a Trojan horse. You know, they pretend that they're like millennial journalism and they say, fuck you. And they say this and this, that and the other and shit. And, you know, they pretend like they're edgy and all that stuff. In the end, I mean, Vice is kind of this neoliberal, neoconservative mouthpiece that has a direct connection to millennials. Vice, you got to be really, really wary of. I mean, Vice, on the entertainment level, sure. I mean, they got cool entertainment stuff. When it comes to like their news side of things, be very wary. I mean, it's neoliberal propaganda. It really is. You know, foreign policy.
You have to be really wary of even like New York Post now. Like, they're starting to put out them and Salon and Washington Post. They're starting to put out some insane crap, some social engineering crap coming out.
Oh, yeah. Like, all of them are, you know, you got to throw them in. They're smaller, so they didn't actually get to meet with Hillary Clinton or have a direct contact within Hillary Clinton's campaign. But all of these people that I just listed, they're big enough to have like the direct contact and stuff. You know, and so there's a lot of untrustworthy media out there, and this election kind of proved that they have no power. They have no power here anymore, you know, and the trust in mainstream media has eroded, you know, continually for a long time. Their influence, as proven by this election, because let's face it, I mean, I'm no fan of Donald Trump. In fact, I'm one of his biggest critics. But let's face it, the entire media establishment lined up behind Hillary Clinton and wanted to get her elected. In fact, they all believed their own bullshit, too. They thought it was going to happen. In fact, I was convinced as well. You know, it's hard to overcome that amount of influence and power. But Trump is, as awful as he is, you know, he did it. He beat the mainstream media in his race, apparently. And so that's just, you know, a side note, but they realized how powerless they were, and now they're lashing out at independent media because now they're like, okay, we've lost our power because independent media fueled by social media has overcome our influence. So now we have to declare war on them, and we need to get, you know, we can't get the government to do it because then it would look like, you know, suppression of free speech. So we got to go through the corporate levers. And so, you know, using their deep connections, you know, the liberal establishment has deep connections within both Google and Facebook. In fact, I mean, Eric Schmidt, I don't want to say he's the current CEO of Google, but he might be a former CEO. At one time,
he's the CEO of Alphabet, am I not right?
I don't think so. I think Alphabet has an Indian dude as their CEO now, but I'm not, I could be wrong. But Eric Schmidt was working for the Obama administration. He was like their chief technology consultant or some bullshit like that. You know, that Google can be considered in some ways an extension of the neoliberal establishment. And Facebook, like I mentioned, I mean, Facebook is, you know, with their executive Sandberg talking, literally messaging the Hillary Clinton campaign saying, hey, I got some insight. I want to talk to you about strategy. You know, and so we have to be very, very concerned about this kind of, you know, I don't know, revolving door between Google, Facebook, and the government. It's really frightening. And so rather than going up against the Constitution and saying, hey, we're going to censor free speech, let's just go through corporations who have rights and we can, you know, everyone consented to be on their, you know, using Facebook, so we can go ahead and censor whatever the hell we want. Claire, go ahead.
the thing is, Google also is participating in this war on fake news too, because they've decided to pull the ability for outlets to use AdSense that they deem fake news. Now, the problem is, Assange actually exposed a couple of years ago in a book that Google not only was originally the U.S. government, like, military creation, for one thing, but it's working in lockstep with the government and the intelligence community. Basically, they feed each other. And Assange was essentially saying, Google is not at all what it seems to be, and everybody needs to be wary of what it is. And when you think that you're just typing in, you know, a search for some sort of innocent whatever, everything is manipulated. You're only going to get the information that Google is willing to give you. We saw that with the earlier in the presidential campaign with the search for a crooked Hillary that was all but gone from Google search. And because they are so intertwined, you know, Google, Facebook, all of these social media and search engine technology corporations, we are already being fed a very selected kind of spectrum of what we're allowed to think, what we're allowed to research, what we're allowed to view. If we, like, don't fight this censorship, this war on dissent that Facebook is kind of heading right now, we're all in deep shit. I mean, this, we're talking about censorship on a fascistic level. And I mean, I am not the tinfoil hat wearing sort of individual whatsoever.
Yeah.
But this is actually that dangerous.
No, this is straight. This is, and I don't know, well, I'm on this Facebook thread here with Chaz talking about the his page, United Citizens of Earth. He had 83,000 followers, and they shut that whole page down. This is straight up. I mean, this is straight up fascism via the free market.
Was anything that resulted in getting it shut down? I know they were spreading all kinds of disgusting stuff, like people would join a group, add a really heinous file and report their own, like, photo they would post in a group. I just wonder if any of that crap's being used to take any groups
down. I'm sure it's people that have already been red flagged multiple times before, you know. And, you know, what I'm telling Chaz now is, you know, like Nick was saying, there's going to be blowback from this, and there's going to be major, you know, people are just, you know, Google and Facebook already obviously have the upper hand over us. We need them more than they need us. But at the end of the day, if everyone pulls out and everyone is like, no, you don't get our content anymore, we're done, we give up, fuck you. If everyone says that, then what do they have? They have a hat full of nothing. They need our keys in their hat to really screw us. If they don't have our keys in their hat, they have nothing.
They might be pushing it too far this time.
I recommend everybody pull out always, especially from Facebook and Google. We're
pull out every time.
exclusively for tonight's show, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of an insight as far as what we're working on in the anti-media. We're working on becoming the most interactive news website in the world. And I can't give away all the details. We're hoping it launches by January 1st, 2017. But we're going to provide a platform where people can move off of Facebook and Google and stuff, and they can come to our website for news. Right now, our website, theantimedia.org, it's kind of like a blog, and it's just in chronological order. That's all going to change, and we're going to be launching a whole new kind of, I wouldn't call it exactly a social media website, but it's definitely kind of a social media website, but for news. And that's what we're bringing in 2017. So, you know, hopefully everybody listening tonight helps us promote it and then migrates over. Like I said, pull out of Facebook and go over to the anti-media. It's coming in a little over a month from now. You know, we're launching something that's really exciting. It's going to help build the entire independent media ecosystem. We're going to do our own, you know, we aren't going to allow fake news on there because none of our friends post fake news. None of the people we work with post fake news. They may be labeled as such, but they're not. I mean, they're going to label anybody that is outside of the mainstream as a purveyor of fake news. And that's all bullshit. I mean, literally all this is a lashing out of the corporate media that has lost its influence, lost its power forever. They forever... throughout our history, the mainstream media was the disseminator of opinion. And they told us how to think. And that's, you know, the mainstream media got us exactly where we're at today. After 9/11, they sowed the seeds of distrust with, you know, with Muslims. They helped us make all these fucking wars happen overseas that created the refugee crisis. They helped Clinton and them pass NAFTA. They helped Obama sell the TPP. In fact, nobody even knew what the TPP was 2 years ago because the media never, ever, ever covered it. And now we finally know what the TPP is, partially thanks to Bernie Sanders, partially thanks to Donald Trump, partially thanks to independent media talking about it.
No, man, it's
mainstream
all
media. I mean, in fact, most of them are behind the TPP. Most of them are pushing it. Most of them are a party of the TPP, including Facebook, including Google, including all the mainstream news outlets, because it was going to help enforce all of their copyrights all around the world. It was going to make them a bunch of money. They were all behind the TPP, you know, and so they're losing their influence. The TPP is out the window. Hillary Clinton lost the election, you know, but the you know, and here's the most hilarious, ironic thing is, you know, the media sowed the seeds for Donald Trump. They laid out the anti-Islam propaganda. They sold us the war in Iraq. They sold us the war on terror. They sold us, hey, be afraid of your neighbor. They sold us the racism. You know, and forever the media has been pretending that, you know, black males in the hood are the biggest threat to your safety, and you can't trust your neighbor, and, you know, Muslims are going to blow you up, and, you know, terrorists are going to get you. We got to go out and be preemptive around the world. They sold us all that stuff long time ago, especially after 9/11. And now Donald Trump comes home. That's really just the propaganda coming home to roost. All that anti-Islam, all that anti-immigration stuff now happening, that's all blowback from NAFTA for the most part. And, you know, so Donald Trump comes in. The media, after sowing the seeds for Donald Trump to win, they get behind Hillary Clinton thinking that they could go against their own propaganda, and they lose. And now, who's to blame? Fake news. It's our fault. It's everybody else's fault but them. It's the fake news purveyor's fault. It's ridiculous, dude.
It's victim culture. It's the mainstream establishment narrative playing out as victim culture as we speak, able to point the finger in every direction but at themselves.
It's a cultural singularity, man. I'm telling you, things are coming apart at the seams right now. The screws are coming out of this machine. This machine is obsolete, and people are starting to see it, and people are freaking out. You can hear it. You can hear. I listen to media all day, whether it's OPB up here in Portland, which is, you know, liberals shit. I mean, it's even left of, it's like the lefter NPR. All across the board, man. Every media voice you hear, there's an extra little tremble in their voice right now. No one knows what the hell is going on. They just know that the machine is falling apart, and Hillary Clinton losing it just solidified, crystallized this vision of chaos that everyone knew was out there, and now no one knows what the hell they do because they burned all their bridges. They burned every single damn bridge, and now the whole thing is coming apart. And now, just like they came crawling to the Bernie people when the Clinton campaign started to collapse, saying, oh, come bail us out, come help us. Now the entire establishment is going to come crawling to the alternative media and say, oh, come bail us out. No, it's over, dude. You will relent. This is a hostile takeover of the airwaves, and we don't need you anymore. We have the internet. And as long as Trump doesn't take down net neutrality, we're going to figure out a way. And Nick's new rollout of his site, It couldn't come at a better time, and it's very serendipitous because everyone knows we need new social media mediums and infrastructure right now.
It's going to get to a point soon where Facebook is like just for statuses, pictures of your lunch, and memes. I mean, news is no longer when they start censoring news, when they start picking and choosing the winners in the newsfeed of the links, they're already doing it. But when it gets worse, you can no longer trust it. You can no longer trust corporate bias within this corporate social media outlet. And, you know, for the longest time, I've been saying, man, we need a new social media outlet too, just like a social media, not social news like we're launching, but a social media that is not corporate social media, you know, like a nonprofit, like Wikipedia type stuff, even though Wikipedia is flawed as well. But
I think Assange and Snowden. I think Assange and Snowden are going to pull something out. That's my theory, is that those two and a big team of angel investors are going to come up with something, because they know nothing can change until there's a reasonable alternative to Facebook right now.
First of all, I went and watched that Snowden movie. I never really talked about it much, but God, I recommend it. Highly recommend it. Really good movie. Really well done. I think, was it Oliver Stone that did it?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Citizen Zero, Nick?
No, the new Snowden movie. It's
the Oliver Stone movie.
What do you call it? What are those kind of movies called? A biopic or something?
Biopic. I didn't see it. It's good.
Really good. And it shed some light on who Snowden is. Dude, I didn't realize this, but Snowden is like one of the smartest people in the world. Like, he helped create like programs that, of course, they told him were going to be used for good things. And they wound up using some of the programming that he did for like coordinating drone strikes and shit, and he didn't realize it. And when he found out, that's part of his turning point, is when he started realizing they were using his creations to do like things that he disagreed with. In fact, he in the movie, it showed him when he watched when Clapper, who's announced his resignation, when Clapper came out and said, "Oh, we're not collecting data on, you know, American citizens." That was one of his other turning points, because he knew, he's like, whoa, dude, he just lied on TV. He just lied right in front of, like, what was it, the Senate committee or the House committee, one of those things. The Clapper lied. I mean, that guy, he's retiring now. He's resigning. He should be going to jail. He lied. He did worse. He did, in fact, I mean, he was more blatantly of a liar than Hillary Clinton. That guy should be going to jail. Anyway, Snowden's one of the smartest guys out there. And if he were to come through and make a legit social media outlet, that would be really awesome. In fact, he made some comments on Facebook and this whole fake news, fake crisis. Yeah. And Snowden actually said, you know what, like, our social media, we're in big trouble because we're too reliant on Facebook. He said that we need a federation of different social media that are connected together. So that other ones can work as like checks and balances against the other. So when one starts going bad, people can shift to a new one. And so, you know, he's right. And if Snowden came up and helped create the next social media outlet, God, that would be the most amazing thing ever.
He's my hero. Him, Assange, and Chelsea Manning are my three heroes. And when that Panama Papers thing came out, He had a quote that was, "Courage is contagious," and I think you're about to see a new era of courage with people who are there. Just people who are just willing to give up their lives. They're sick of it. They don't want to live for a fake empire anymore. Same that you're seeing out at the Standing Rock. People are giving up their lives. They'd rather die than grant their name and the license of their identity to this empire. And you're going to see more of that.
One thing I'd like to see is, you know, if Trump, what he's been doing, and he met with Tulsi Gabbard, and he's basically installing all ex-military. That's what I've been noticing. Everyone in his cabinet, even Bannon, is ex-Navy. So everybody. So he's going to, this is basically a silent coup. The banking cartel lost. The military is taking over. They're the head honchos. They're the men with guns, and they're in control. So I think what we're going to see here is a wholesale, complete flip-flop of everything you can imagine, top to bottom. I mean, we're going back to the Reagan years here.
And DB, you've been saying that for a while, that it's a battle between the bankers and the military. You've been saying that.
It's over already. It's over. It's over. I don't care how rich you are. You're never going to defeat generals who control the armies. Well, what are you going to do? Threaten that you're going to take their house away or something?
Well, you know, what's happened is the banking class, the billionaire class, has lost the confidence of the military. And I think you're right in many aspects on this, DB. I mean, obviously, Clinton was the Goldman Sachs candidate, and Trump is shaping up to be this strongman military guy. You know, and it really, the choice is starting to look like what it was Clinton is the, you know, the corporate status quo, and Trump is the silent military coup, you know, and that's what it's starting to shape into. And, you know, we're going to have to wait and see how you know, Trump ends up doing this. But yeah, man, I mean, I can definitely see that going on. And I think I could
and
definitely,
I don't know what...
especially if Trump becomes the fascist that he's starting to look like, well, you know, I think Jake's right. There's going to be a lot more whistleblowers. There's going to be a lot more truth tellers out there willing to risk their lives to get the truth out, to undermine what's going on, you know, because people in this country are, you know, so fed up. And the last two elections, the last two presidents really, really shed light on that. I mean, Obama came in as an anti-war, anti-establishment guy. Trump comes in as kind of a non-intervention, anti-establishment guy. Of course, Obama turned into the neoliberal wet dream, and you know, who knows what Trump will be turning into, but it doesn't look like he's the anti-establishment guy we thought of. But the country is pretty much fed up, dude. They're so fed up with the status quo that they're willing to risk a maniac like Trump taking office to try something else because they're so tired of this crap. And that to me is what this election really tells me. I reject the notion that most Trump supporters are racist. I think there is definitely a racist vein of white nationalism that flows through the Trump movement, but I don't think it's the majority. I think it's a small minority. In fact, there was like this neo-Nazi white nationalist convention in DC the other day, and there was like 200 people that showed up. Half of them were like protesters. So it's like, you know, it's not like there's 100 million white nationalists running around the United States. I mean, the majority of people are working class people that are looking for something other than a continuation of the Bush doctrine, basically, which is what we got with Obama. And so, you know, DB, I'll let, if you have something else to add to that, I want to shift back to the Dakota Access Pipeline now, because now that we've talked about the media and how they've been they've lost their control. They lost the election. They refuse to cover things that are meaningful. They refuse to cover Dakota Access Pipeline for months and months and months. Now it's becoming a major issue, and I want to move back to that because, man, last night I feel like it should be a turning point with various things, but especially police accountability, man. I mean, this I've been saying it, you know, and this people have been getting gunned down in the streets by the cops. 1,000 people a year since, like, what, 2013, I believe. There's been 1,000 people gunned down every year by the cops in the United States, many of which have been unarmed, many, the majority of which have been people with mental illness. But it's always, you know, isolated incident. You know, one guy gets shot here, three guys get shot over the weekend in Los Angeles. You know, a guy gets shot in San Diego, a guy gets shot in Ohio, a guy gets shot in Florida. And then, you know, there's sporadic protests. And every now and then there'll be nationwide protests, which was, you know, the case with Mike Brown and, you know, Eric Garner and things like that. But last night was different. That was a mass event, mass casualty event. I mean, DB, as you said, there may be at least one guy that may die because of last night. There may be two, because one person went into cardiac arrest. The other guy with asthma hasn't been heard from. 300 people were injured. 300 casualties last night because the cops were spraying people with you know, water cannons and chemical weapons and just heavily militarized tactics. So I want to shift into that. Because Claire helped break the story on what was going on over there. So I'm going to go to Claire next. But DB, did you have anything else to add before that?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, what's going on at DAPL or DAPL is indicative of what will become what Trump brings to the table, which is a law and order, American fortress, police state society. Now, if we allow that to happen, that's what we'll get. And we'll get a brown shirt type society, a private army within borders that take executive orders. And we really don't want that. So I guess the best thing we could hope for with Trump, and maybe we can pressure him to do so, is we brought our military home and the military came home and the only thing they did was defended us. We brought our aircraft carriers back. They made us impregnable and impenetrable, and we were a citadel. We got back to what we used to be, which was the biggest food producing country in the world. Everything would go right again. I think we have to stop DAPL, because if we put oil over water, and there will be a spill, and it'll get into the aquifer, and it'll ruin our farmlands. And then what do we got? What do we really got when we can't make food anymore?
Good points, man. And they just discovered a huge, huge oil field in Texas as well, I think I was reading. You know, and
yeah,
so,
the biggest ever discovered in North America.
Yeah. But, you know, this thing with the Dakota Access Pipeline, to me, it should be a turning point, and this is the point where the United States, the public, stands up against police militarization. Because at this point, what they're doing over there with the Dakota Access Pipeline, and these people are not rioting, they're standing in the way of something which they disagree with. And I happen to agree with those people, but you know, that I'm not going to, you know, put that out there and get that in the way. But they're standing in the way of something they disagree with, and heavy-handed militarized police are coming in and brutalizing them and sending 300 people into medical care last night. That's not just one isolated incident. That's not just, oh, one guy got beat up and, you know, Rodney King and or, you know, Mike Brown. This is 300 people. I mean, is this going to be the turning point where the United States public finally turns against police militarization? Claire, what do you think?
Well, if they don't, it would be a true travesty at this point. You have a 13-year-old girl shot in the face with a rubber bullet. Two, if not three people, including a tribal elder, going into cardiac arrest. The elder had to be given CPR at the scene to be resuscitated. And you have a concussion grenade blowing the arm off of a water protector who was there handing out water to the other people who were being tear gassed. She is now going to lose her arm. And I'm sorry, but if you are justifying this action against people who have, for the most part, shown incredible restraint, then you are the problem. There really is no, I mean, like, I try not to be so incredibly biased that I make a firm stance, but at this point, there really is no other way to look at this. This is what happens when the police state becomes incredibly enmeshed with industry and corporations at the expense of the people. President Obama, I know that he is in a lame duck period now, but he could very easily say something about what's going on, and he has said nothing. And there is no excuse for what is happening. The police tried to say that the water protectors in this case were starting fires. They went to the scene to try to clear burned out military vehicles that had been left obstructing a road, preventing emergency services from getting through to the camps, the reservation, and local communities. And they just left them there since October 27th. And so the water protectors came there and tried to clear them away, and police, like, began assaulting them. The police claimed also that the water protectors had set fires, but in actuality, what happened is that they started firing tear gas canisters and concussion grenades at these people who were unarmed, and the people were kicking them back at police, and those grenades started the fires. So police used the excuse of the fires to bring in water cannons, and they said that they were going to put out the fires with the water cannon. And if you look at the live stream from that night, you can clearly see that they didn't even touch the fires at first. When they first got on scene, those water cannons were immediately used against the protesters. This is the most absurd situation and the most disgusting display of force that you could possibly imagine. And it is something that I never thought in 42 years on this planet that I would ever see from my own government. As bad as this government has been, and as corrupt as it has been, and as violent as it has been everywhere else, I never thought that I would see something this disgusting and abhorrent on our territory against Native American water protectors, whom the government has spent centuries exploiting and, you know, affecting genocide against. It's inexcusable. And I don't mean to be so vociferous, but I don't see another way to speak about it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And in some ways, that I hate to make a comparison, but in some ways it's more brutal than what went on in the 60s with the early stages of the civil rights movement. I mean, looking back at, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, where they sick dogs on the people, and then they were using water cannons to clear out the parks where they were protesting. I mean, they already sick dogs on the people in North Dakota. It was the private contractor, Blackwater people, the G4S. I forget. I think that's the company that was. They found out that I was doing that, which is a British kind of mercenary firm. They stick dogs on them, and then they're throwing using water cannons on people in
it's 26 degrees,
you know, sub freezing temperatures. That's even more brutal than what they were doing during the civil rights era.
Two days after the sheriff said that he was worried about water protectors suffering hypothermia at the camp.
Yeah,
he's going to go out and give them permission to use water cannons on these people.
Last week, you know, the Morton County Sheriff's Department put out a Facebook post, which was aerial surveillance footage of, you know, it was pictures of the encampment. And the Sheriff's Department put out a post saying, oh, we're concerned that these guys aren't prepared enough for the winter time. It seems like, you know, the preparations they've made aren't sufficient to keep them warm.
Let's spray them with ice water.
So let's go ahead and go down and spray the camp with ice water. Let's try that out, see if that helps. So yeah, I mean, we all look back, and I went down to the Civil Rights Institute when I was down in Birmingham, Alabama, and believe me, I was choking back the tears as I was going through that thing. And in fact, the two guys I went with, I won't name them because I don't want to embarrass them, but you guys all know them. They couldn't even go through the whole thing because it was just too, brutal. And it really brings out the emotion. And I haven't cried since I was 13, but that was the closest I've cried, closest I've come to crying since I've been 13. And I'm about to turn 30. So, you know, it tells you how ridiculous.
You haven't cried in over two decades now?
No, I haven't, man. I've been trying.
What the hell is the matter with you?
Dude,
you need to rent.
You need to do some ayahuasca, Nick.
You need to rent Say Anything and sit down with some popcorn. And let those tears flow, man. Let flow my tears, the policeman said. That's a Philip K. Dick novel. Read it.
Let your inner angel out, Nick.
Look at the water protector who was bringing water to the people on the bridge who were being sprayed with water and had her arm blown apart and is going to lose it in the process. And tell me that you're going to be able to choke back tears because I have been unable to do so for 24 hours.
Claire, I was almost tearing up in your last description of it, just the reality of such brutality against people that have already been so historically victimized. It's really overwhelming if you sit and actually think about it. It's disgusting.
You know, and so we look back at the civil rights era and, you know, everybody can agree, oh, man, you know, it was horrible what we did back then. And it was egregious. I mean, I was learning when I was down at that thing in Birmingham. You know, I found out that they bombed out. You know, white supremacists bombed out like a bunch of churches, and there was like over 100 bombings in Birmingham alone against black businesses and black congregations and black activists. And this was in a time span of just a couple years. In some ways, right now, what the United States government is doing in some ways is more brutal than what they did during the civil rights era down in the Deep South. What they're doing right now at Standing Rock in some ways is much more brutal, which is in particular what they're doing with the with these water cannons. I mean, that is unexcusable. I mean, you're freezing people. You're purposely freezing people. You're giving 300 people hypothermia. I mean,
they have essentially declared war. They have essentially declared war against peaceful people on behalf of the corporation. If there isn't anything more appalling.
Can we plug this, the lady that is from NYC, Sophia Wilansky? If you go to GoFundMe, her last name, Wilansky, Sophia. So you can give money. She's going to lose her arm. She's going to need a lot of money.
Jesus, God.
Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be back on Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving. Thank you all. Yeah.
I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.